chapter number 85, Psalm 85, and I appreciate the men telling me about the biscuits. Wendell got me a biscuit this morning, and my soul, if I lived down here, I know where I'd be every morning. We have a little country diner at home, and we eat there every morning, and that's my kind of place, my kind of food, and enjoyed the meal, enjoyed the good fellowships thus far. And I may have to come back May the 19th. I like strawberries too. Amen. But it's good to be here. Psalm chapter number 85. I'm going to read the chapter again tonight. I'm going to look at several of these verses. This chapter is probably one of the most preached chapters when it comes to revival. Probably right along with 2 Chronicles 7, 14. This chapter gets preached a lot during revivals, and rightfully so. And I was looking at this chapter some time back, and the Lord began to show us some things, and I know there's nothing new under the sun, but I know there's a familiar verse in here that all of us will recognize. I even mentioned it last night, alluded to it. I already had this message on my mind, had been praying about it. And there's a very familiar verse. You'll find it there in verse 6 where David asked a question. And he's talking to the Lord, of course, and he asked that great question there. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? And that is a great question. And I pondered on that, preacher. I pondered on that question. I like looking at I believe every explanation point, every period, every semicolon, every question mark. I believe this book is divinely inspired by the Holy Ghost of God. I believe every word, I believe every jot, I believe every tittle. I believe it's God's word from Genesis to Revelation. Sure. And I always like looking at these questions whenever you see a question mark or even an explanation mark where God puts an explanation mark. Somebody said it like this, where God puts an explanation point, don't you put a period.
Right.
Certainly that is good advice.
Yeah.
And Paul, there's a lot of, if you go and read and study the writings of Paul over in the New Testament, there's a lot of questions there. Paul asked, not only he'll ask the Lord, but he asked people who he's writing to. And the same thing here, David is asking a question of the Lord. And we've heard that old adage, well, don't question the Lord, don't question the Lord. I don't really know where that come from, and I really understand what they're saying. Certainly, God's God, and He's going to be God, and He's going to do what God does.
Right.
But can I say this? Sometimes it's okay to ask the Lord a question.
Sure.
Amen? And that is exactly what the psalmist here is doing in Psalm chapter number 85. He is asking a question. Evidently, there is trouble in the land. You'll find that as we go down through these verses. And I was reading after a preacher, and he was talking about revival. And he said this, he said, revival is being brought out of a state of spiritual comatose. He said, and I think that it's pretty good definition. However, as a pastor who is interested in revival, he said, I've asked myself, what is revival? And what does it mean to have revival? He went on to say this, he said, when we study the subject of revival, we learn that revival is more of an Old Testament concept. He said, out of the 16 times that the words revive or revived or reviving are used in the Scripture, 14 of those occurrences are in the Old Testament. In each of those 14 occurrences, the word is derived from the Hebrew word, which means to live or to have life, to remain alive or to sustain life, or to be quickened from sickness, discouragement, faintness, or death, to be restored to life or health, to cause to grow. And he goes on to say this. It says, revival then suggests the idea of living. It suggests the idea of lasting, and it suggests the idea of lifting. And I thought, Brother Scott, I thought that was a pretty good definition of revival is to be quickened, to be made alive. If you look up in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, that is exactly what you'll find, the definition for revival. That's what it means to be made alive, to be brought back to life. And certainly in these days, we need that. We need to be quickened. The church needs quickened. I need quickened. I told you last night about the gentleman who drew a circle around himself and he prayed to God to revive everything in that circle. And I pray that you've been doing that today. That's what I've been doing, thinking about it all day. And I wanted to go a different direction tonight, but I could not get away from the thought of revival. It's just been so heavy on my mind, actually, ever since your pastor called me these messages, at least for the first three or four nights, has been just real heavy on my mind about revival. Yeah. I mean, it's no secret we need revival in these days.
Sure.
I want us to look tonight, and I believe the Lord's got something for us. I believe He can help us tonight. If you'll give us your attention for just a few minutes, I want you to look in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all Thy wrath. Thou hast turned Thyself from the fierceness of Thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause Thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt Thou draw out Thine anger to all generations? Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? Show us Thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us Thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people, unto Him and to His saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before Him and shall set us in the way of His steps." Let us pray again. Lord, we thank You, God, again tonight, Lord, for the privilege and the opportunity. Lord, You've allowed us to be in Your house. God, we thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and Your grace. Thank You, Lord, for being so good to us. And Lord, tonight, God, You know our frame. Lord, You know how weak and frail we are tonight. God, I pray, Lord, tonight, God, for just for a little while, Lord, that You'd hide us beneath the cross, and Lord, that You'd help us, Lord, to preach that You've laid upon our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray, God, again, for this good church, these good people, Lord, and this pastor, his family. Lord, I pray, God, give them souls for their labor. And Lord, I pray, God, this week, Lord, that You'd do something very special in this place. God, in these days of meeting, Lord, I pray tonight, God, that You'd walk up and down the aisles, in and out of the pews. God, that You'd walk in the hearts and lives here tonight. God, no doubt tonight, there's some come here tonight. Lord, they're tired in body. Lord, they're tired in spirit. Lord, maybe carrying heavy burdens. Lord, I pray, God, tonight, Lord, that You'd help them, God, that You'd lift the burdens, God, that You'd ease their pain. And God, that You'd help them, Lord, whatever they're facing in their life. Lord, I pray, God, tonight You get glory and honor to Yourself. Lord, we'll thank You, God, and we'll praise You for what You do. For it is in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. I want you to look with me tonight in these verses, and I want to give you a few things about revival. And that question, focus on that question, "Will Thou not revive us again?" I thought about it. I maybe even said something about it last night. Where it's not a series of meetings that I'm interested in. And I tell my church this all the time. If it's just a series of meetings, then we can have them. But if God don't show up and God don't do something, unless the Holy One comes down, it'll all be in vain. Amen. And we certainly need God in these days. Again, I was thinking about the question that David was posing unto the Lord here. And I want you to notice a few things with me. you to look with me there in verse number 4. Now the first three verses, God and David, or the psalmist here, is laid out, and he's saying, Lord, you've blessed the land. You've been favorable unto it. You've returned the children. But Lord, there's still something missing. Boy, we can look around and we can truly say that God has been good to us. It's already been sung about. It's already been talked about this week. God truly is good to us, and we are so thankful for His goodness. But can I say to you tonight, there's still something missing in the church tonight. I'm telling you something. We still need the fires of God to burn one more time. And here the psalmist gets back to the seriousness of it. Notice what he says there in verse number 4. He said, turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Now can I say this? I know that we're living in a generation that thinks that God don't get angry about anything. Well, He's just a big loving God. You know, we've been told that, and I will say this. We know that God is love. We understand that. But friend, make no doubt about it. There is some things that anger God tonight. And the sin that this nation is in, and the sin that the church is in tonight, I believe with all my heart angers God. Friend, God just does not wink at sin. He just does not take it lightly. He just does not just lightly sweep it under the rug. Friend, I promise you this. God still takes sin as serious as He did in Achan's day. Whenever Achan went over there in the camp and disobeyed God, after God had given commandment not for him to, and he went over there into Ai, and he got that shekel of gold, piece of gold, and that shekel of silver, and that Babylonian garment, and brought it back and hid it in the tent. And God said, there is sin in the camp, and I want to tell you something. Because of that sin, God's anger was kindled, and Achan and all the little Achans and Miss Achan have died because of Achan's sin. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Listen, I don't want you to get a bad picture of God. God is a God of love. But can I tell you this? God is a God of justice. And He is also a righteous judge. And He does not take sin lightly tonight. Amen. And friend, the way that our countries are going, killing babies, letting homosexuals marry, all the things that's going on in our nation tonight, friend, you cannot tell me that it does not anger God. And friend, until we turn, and just like the psalmist was begging God here, he is saying, turn us, O God, from the fierceness of thy anger. Boy, can I tell you something tonight? If we're going to have revival, preacher, I'm afraid we're going to have to get back to that kind of prayer. I'm afraid we're going to have to get back to that kind of, I said last night about supplication. And I mean, listen, I believe we ought to pray. But man, I believe there's some supplication needs to be done. I believe we need to weep on the altars. I believe we need to cry out to God and beg God to intervene. Boy, it's good to see these young people sitting here on the front row and scattered throughout the building. But friend, listen to me. People saying all the time now, the young people, the young people's doing this and the young people's doing that. And listen, it ain't the young people's worrying me. It's mom and daddies and papas and mamas. That's the ones that's worrying me. I'm telling you, friend, there's no teaching at home, and there's no character at home, and there's no repentance at home, and there's no church at home. And friend, we expect the young people to shape up and do right when mom and daddy ought to be the one shaping up and doing right. God help us today. I believe the psalmist has the right idea here. Now the question's going to come here in a minute. Wilt thou not revive us? Again, we're going to ponder that. But I believe there's going to be some repentance before there'll ever be revival. Amen? Notice what else he said. Not only did he say, turn us. He said, look what he said. He said, wilt thou be angry with us forever? He said, wilt thou, verse 5, wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Can I be honest with you tonight, preacher? I look at our young people tonight, and I see, you know what I'm doing? It breaks my heart. It really does, because I believe they are reaping. They are reaping what we have sowed for them. We've let righteousness and holiness, and boy, that's something you don't hear in the Baptist churches anymore, but it's still a Bible doctrine. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. Talking about a charismatic movement, but I'm talking about Bible holiness.
Right.
I'm talking about Bible righteousness.
Yep.
I'm talking about following God, being sold out, separated,
right,
and following God with all the hearts, our souls, and our mind, the way the Word of God teaches us and instructs us to.
Right.
You don't hear much preaching about that anymore. But friend, that is what we're going to have to get back to, so God's anger might be turned away, and before we'll ever see revival in this land.
Amen.
Young people, I want to say to you now, I'm sorry. I want to apologize to you, because my generation and the generation after me has absolutely dropped the ball tonight.
Sure.
Hey man, I'm serious. I mean, good listen, preacher, we're laying it all on them. Honey, it ain't their fault. Where did they get taught all that?
Right.
And listen, we go to church. You know what it did? It blessed my heart last night to see a church that uses the altar.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I was in a mountain church last week. I'm telling you, a good church. I mean, a wonderful church. But friend, I'm telling you something. First night, I'll be honest, I guess they was trying to get to know me. I was trying to get to know them. But brother, I'm telling you, we've got to the place where we won't use the altar no more. You go through the Word of God, and you know what you'll find? You'll find altars set up where God did business with His people, with His men, with His women, with His children at different times. And friend, what they did on those altars was they sacrificed and they repented and they turned from their wicked ways. The psalmist said, turn us, O God.
Amen.
We need
That's
to turn.
Right. That's right.
Listen, we are headed in the wrong direction. I'll be honest with you. This morning, I got up and we went to find Bridgersville. Is that what you call them? And your pastor had sent me an address. It was wrong. Amen. He gave me the wrong directions. I ended up in, I don't know where, M City. It took me right to the police department. I said, is he trying to tell me something? And it was the wrong direction. You know what I did? Had to turn around and go the right direction.
Yeah,
I'll tell you something. When you realize you're headed in the wrong direction, you know what you do? You turn around, friend. And that's just exactly what the psalmist was saying. He is saying, turn us, God.
Yep.
Get us headed back in the right direction. Oh, I'll tell you something. If I could shout that all over America tonight, if I had the opportunity. And friend, I can't, but you know what? We can.
Yep.
As the church, we can shout it over our communities, over our children, over our schools, over our workplaces. We can shout it that we must turn again before we're ever going to have revival.
Amen.
We need it in these days. We need repentance. There's no doubt we need revival. Notice the next few questions, verse 6 and 7. Notice what he said. He don't just say, turn us. When I'm reading, I don't know why I'm this way, but when I'm studying, I pay close attention to words.
Yeah.
And you'll find that us, all the way down through here. The psalmist had a burden, preacher.
Yeah.
He had a burden for the people that were around him, like you have a burden for the people that are here. He said, us, Lord, us needs revival. Notice what he says. He said, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Can I say this? Listen to me. Now, I know every church don't worship the same. I got some shouters in my church. I almost kind of giggle sometimes. I always stand back at the back of the church till church takes up and while the choir's singing. And we got a little lady in our church. Her name's Shirley. And I had three Shirleys at my church. I had four Shirleys at my church. My mom named Shirley. Had three other Shirleys. Two of them was shouting Shirleys. So I called them my shouting Shirleys. And one of them's going on to be with the Lord now. And you can watch her. It'll be like a big steam engine. And the choir get to singing. And they get to singing in the Holy Ghost. Get in the power. And then she'll start waving that little hand. She'll start rocking. About like that little girl did there just a while ago. She'd get to rocking back and forth. And the next thing you know, it'll go off like a tea kettle. Whoa! She'll shout. out, and people will jump. And I mean, if they used to her, I mean, the home folk, they just kind of sit there and grin and wave their hand with her. Amen. They, sometimes them new envisioners, they'll jump like, what in the world? But I know everybody don't worship the same, but can I tell you something? I believe why we don't have no rejoicing much anymore is because we need revival.
Amen.
He says, will thou not revive us again? Yeah. He said, that thy people may rejoice. Friend, I'm telling you something tonight. We ought to be the happiest people in the world.
Amen.
I ain't got nothing to walk around and frail about tonight. I ain't got nothing to hold my head down. I'm saved. I'm saved, sealed to the day of redemption.
Amen.
I'm on my way to heaven. There ain't nothing to frail about. Hey, listen, I know bad times come.
Come on.
I know sad times come. I know storms come. I know trials come. Oh, but thank God tonight, that don't change the fact that I'm saved. Saved. Amen.
That's good preaching.
I'm telling you something tonight, friend. We ought to be able to rejoice.
Amen.
And you just, I'm going to all these churches now. I'm preaching, and I thank God for these opportunities. But you don't see many people with rejoicing.
Right.
That's why I was excited to get back tonight. Hey man, I mean, listen, you worship different than some churches I've been in.
Yeah.
But you know, the rejoicing I seen last night in the faces, in the expression.
Amen.
And like I said, I told you a preacher last night, he messaged, says, everything all right at the campground. And I said, preacher, everything's great. I said, well, my wife talked about it all the way, but talked about you and your people, your family, all the way back to the house. And like I said, you know what that made me do? That made me rejoice. Hey, that helped me because her spirit was bearing witness with your spirit. I'm telling you, friend, not every place has what you have. I'm telling you, God wants to do something special.
Amen.
At Amen. East Baptist Church, I believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
I believe that. I was talking to some preachers today. And they said, how'd it go? Talked to some of my deacons today. One of my deacons, his wife had serious back surgery today. Wish you'd pray for her. He said, how'd it go, preacher? Before I could hardly even ask how she was.
Yeah.
He said, how'd it go, preacher? How'd it go last night? I said, man, it was wonderful. He said, you could just hear him on the other side. He said, that's great. We've been praying. And I'm telling you, you got some people up in the mountains. That man that's praying for this church down here, and they have been praying for some years now, ever since I met your pastor. And friend, I'm telling you something. Listen, we need revival. He said that my people, that your people may rejoice.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we need rejoicing, man.
Amen.
Listen, mm-hmm. You want to go to church anywhere where a bunch of people like sticks in the mud? I mean, listen, you want to go to church where nobody ever smiles?
Come on.
I mean, everybody. Now, listen, I'll be honest with you. I got some members. I don't dare ask them how they're doing. I love them, but I ain't going to ask them how they're doing. I ain't got 45 minutes to sit there and listen to them. Amen. I'll just be honest with you, because they'll tell you about every ingrown toenail they got, every pain in their toe, every pain in their knee. I'm not being mean, but I'm just telling you, friend. I want to go where people are rejoicing.
Amen.
And we got something to rejoice over. And that's what the psalmist was seeing here. He said, Lord, he said, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Notice, he didn't just say revive us, but notice what he said. He said revive us in verse 6. Notice what he said in verse 7. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation.
Yeah.
Can I tell you this? I believe if we have revival, if us has revival, he'll show us mercy.
Yeah, amen.
Oh my, can I tell you what we need these days? We need the mercy of God.
Yes, we do. Amen.
Somebody said this, said grace is unmerited favor.
Yeah.
But mercy, I believe mercy's a little bit, I mean, grace is great. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not he says a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God for saving grace.
Amen.
Amen. But mercy.
Yeah.
I mean, mercy, you know what mercy was? Mercy is him not killing you while you was at your sin.
Right. Amen.
You know, man, that's exactly, think about
God
that
is.
For a minute. That was what mercy was. Mercy was him not taking your life and letting you die and go to hell. That's what mercy was.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness tonight?
That's
I'm
right.
telling you,
oh, yes.
I know where I ought to be tonight.
Amen.
I know exactly where I ought to be tonight.
Yep.
And it ain't standing behind the pulpit preaching.
Come on, preacher.
I don't deserve the blessings and the mercy of God.
Right.
Hey, I thank God for his mercy and his grace that he showed upon me.
Amen.
He said, not only said, Lord, revive us. He said, but show us that mercy.
Yeah.
Show us that mercy. You know what we want to be praying for our nation right now? God, show us that mercy. Because
yes.
Listen to me. I'm not a prophet nor son of a prophet. Don't claim to be a prophet. Don't claim to know nothing. I'm just a dumb old hillbilly out of the Hickson, Marion, North Carolina, and I don't know a lot. But I do know this. I've read that Bible enough to know. I know how it ends.
Yep.
I know how it begins.
Right.
I know the middle of it, and I know how it ends.
Yeah.
And friend, I read it enough to know that we're watching Bible pages unfold right before our very eyes tonight.
Yeah.
We're seeing prophecy fulfilled faster than I've ever seen it fulfilled in my life.
Sure.
I talked to some of these old preachers, Brother Barker and some of these older preachers.
Yeah.
These men of God's been preaching 50, 60 years. Told you last night, I've been preaching 25 years, been pastoring 24 of those 25 years. In 24 years, preacher, I can tell you things has changed.
Yeah.
God can move through a service now, and people's hearts are so hard.
Yeah.
People's lives and their minds are so caught up with things.
Yeah.
Young people, don't let this world harden you.
Yeah. Come on.
Used to see young people. Whenever, even 10 years ago, 15 years ago, me and your preacher was just talking about it, 2015, Foothills Youth Camp that year, revival broke out. Brother John Dorsey was preaching meeting. We went for 5 weeks under the old gospel tent. I can't remember the number that was saved now. Hundreds.
Yeah.
It was up in the hundreds. Many answered their call to preach. Brother Jeremiah answered his call to preach out of that meeting. The glory's running all over me right now.
Yeah.
I seen young people sit and weep. Weep.
Yeah.
Every service, weep. I remember a service Brother Dorsey preached on the subject of bitterness, harboring bitterness in our lives. One of the greatest messages I've ever heard preached in my life.
Amen.
He preached that message that night, and he really didn't even preach. He just really, he exhorted, and he got up and read through the scripture. He did that another night on hell, preached on hell, and people was running from the back of the tent, that big old gospel tent. They were running from the back of the tent, running and diving into the altar and crying and begging God to save them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I've seen in the last some of those same young people that sat there almost 10 years ago. I've seen them sit since then in every youth camp. We've had youth camp every year except 1 year because of COVID. And I've seen them since, some of them. You went to church with some of them there at Charity Hill. And I've watched those kids, my kids from Turkey Cove, Amazing Grace, thanks to Calvary. I've watched some of them same kids. I've watched their lives change, and not for the better.
Yeah.
Because they let the hardness and the bitterness of this world get into their lives, and they sit there, and now they've got faces of stone.
Yeah.
And I see that everywhere I go. Yeah. And can I tell you what we need tonight? It's the mercy of God back in our churches.
Oh, yes.
Before we have revival, friend, we need the mercy of God. Then he said, look what he said. He didn't just say, show us thy mercy. But he said, oh Lord, he said, and grant us thy salvation. Now listen to me. I got all kinds of salvational messages I could have come preach tonight, but that wasn't what the Lord wanted. Preacher, I'm convinced. Listen, that wasn't what he wanted tonight. If you're here tonight and you're lost, I pray my prayer is this. That you'll get born again before you leave, because listen to me, it's God's mercy that you're not in hell tonight.
Amen. Sure.
It's God's mercy. And if he took his hand off you, off your life for 1 second, you'd end up in a horrible place called hell.
Yeah.
And that'd be horrible. But I'm going to tell you something. He said he was asking for more. He said, Lord, not only thy mercy, he said, but grant us thy salvation. Can I tell you something? If we'll get the church get revived, and we get the mercy of God, we'll start seeing the salvation.
Sure. Amen.
Listen, that's when I call revival at the church, it's when I start seeing the people getting stale and stagnant. Whenever I start seeing the people not being moved by the Spirit of God and by the Holy Ghost, when I start seeing them not getting moved, that's when I start really praying, God, send us revival. God, you lay a man on my heart. I'll call him. God, you work it out. That's when I start praying for revival.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something. Listen, we need, and not only listen, that just don't mean soul salvation. In the Old Testament, that meant deliverance. Can I say something tonight? We need deliverance. And I'm not a Greg Locke or one of them off the wall characters either. Amen.
Come on, preacher.
Hello.
Amen.
Tokyo. Amen. I'm telling you, this crowd going around preaching that deliverance mess. Amen. God will deliver you, but you have to do it God's way. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. It ain't casting out this and casting out that. Amen. No one's going to be casting out anything to be the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. What this country needs tonight is deliverance.
Yeah.
We need deliverance from ourselves. We need deliverance. Man, that's exactly
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
We need deliverance. We need the God of salvation tonight to deliver this country. We need.
Yeah.
Maybe we're going to have to have it before we have revival.
Amen.
We're going to have it.
Sure.
Notice what else he said. He said, grant us. And then, I want to go back. That rejoicing. I read this story. I want to share it with you. And I'm not a storyteller. I just like to preach. But they was talking, I mentioned that Welsh revival last night. And I come across this today. It said a man who was president of a vast railway system a long time ago was asked, what is his greatest need of your railroad system? He replied, our greatest need is bigger boilers and hotter fires. I'm thinking about that. You know, it's exactly what we need in the church.
Amen.
Amen. We need bigger boilers and hotter fires.
Yep.
Hey, man,
right.
We need to, hey, listen to me. Hey, just let it out once in a while.
Yep.
Let your rejoicing out.
Yep, man.
Hey, they said over there in that Welsh revival said that there was two news reporters got on the train, went over there just to see what that Welsh revival was all about.
Yeah.
Said they got off the train there in Wales and said they went up to a big old policeman. Said he was standing there and they said, sir, where might we find the great Welsh revival? Said he. Said he straightened up, tucked his coat in, and said he poked out his chest, and he said, sirs, you can find the Welsh revival right here inside this uniform.
Amen.
Friend, that's the way we ought to be tonight when we leave the house of God. Hey, where can we have revival?
Can we find revival?
Listen, can they find it in your heart?
That's good preaching.
Listen, can they find it in your rejoicing tonight, friend? Listen, he said, wilt thou not revive us again? Turn us, show us, grant us. Boy, I'm telling you something. Then these next verses really got my attention. There's some things, there's a few words here that I want us to look at. Notice the word mercy, the word truth, the word righteousness, and the word peace you'll find in these next several verses. Verses 8 through 11, notice what he said. He said, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. He said, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to Father. You know what? We go out visiting. Preacher, I go to the hospitals. I talk to people all the time. You know what people are looking for? They're looking for peace.
Yeah.
That's what they're looking for in this world. They're just looking for peace.
Yeah.
And it's a great privilege to tell them that you know the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, it's a great privilege. But I'll tell you something. People are searching for something.
Yeah.
And if the church don't have revival, where are they going to find it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where are they going to find it at, church? Notice what he said. He said, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. He said, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. He said, but let them not return again, or let them not turn again to folly.
Yeah.
He said, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Can I just stop and say tonight, Lord, do it again.
Yeah. Amen.
Lord, do it again. Every year when we prepare for youth camp, I wish you'd bring your young people up, preacher. I'm telling you. Bring them, just give them, get go around, get them up out of the community, bring them.
Amen.
But every year for youth camp, you know what we pray? Lord, do it again.
Yeah.
Now you can't duplicate what was done in 2015. There's no way. Lord, just would you just stir the waters again?
Yeah.
Just one more time, Lord. Would you just do it one more time? You know what I've been praying for the last several months? My wife will tell you this. I ain't told my church this. In my prayer time, I've been praying this. Lord, in wrath, remember mercy.
Yeah.
Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. You know, the prophet asked him that. He said, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. And I've been praying that because, preacher, I'm being honest with you. If we don't turn and we keep going in the direction that we're going, the wrath of God's coming. You mark it down.
Amen.
He will not idly stand by and let continue and carry on what is happening in this nation.
Yeah.
He won't.
Yeah.
He never has, and he never will. He's too righteous. He's too holy.
Right.
Hey, man, he's God. He
Amen.
Will not allow it to go on.
That's right.
And friend, I'm telling you, we better get our heads out of the sand, and we better be praying, God, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice? He goes on down through these verses, down through verse 11. He mentions mercy again. Truth. He said mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. You know what that is? That's what revival is.
Yeah.
When truth and righteousness meet together, when they kiss together, I'm telling you something, that is what revival is.
Amen. That's right.
I'm telling you what, John said this. He said, I must decrease, and he must increase.
Yeah.
When we get ourselves out of the way, when we quit making it about us and about this and about that and start making it about him again,
Amen.
I believe we can have revival. Here's what I'm done. We need reconciliation, but we need restoration. Notice these last two verses. Verse 12 and 13, he said, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Notice what he said. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. For the last 4 or 5 months at the church, and I don't know why, for the last 4 or 5 months on Sunday mornings, I've been preaching pretty much on holiness.
Yeah.
And even when the message wouldn't even, when I thought the message wasn't even going to go that way.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes us preachers, we'll have big plans. We, you know, we'll have an outline, this and that and other, and we get in preaching, and the Holy Ghost says, well, let me show you what I want.
Yeah.
By the way, that's what I want.
Amen.
It's what he wants. Yeah. And it seems like every message on Sunday morning has been about holiness
yeah.
and righteousness mm-hmm. and how that we need to get back to that.
Yeah.
Listen, I remember my little old granny. She'd scare most people to death nowadays. The Holy Ghost would get on her, and she'd shout till her hair fell down, kept her hair up in a little bun. Never had a haircut, lived to be 99 year old. Never had a haircut in her life. She'd take her hair down at night, and it'd be way down here, and she'd put it up in a bun during the day and work like a barred tractor, and never had a public job,
yeah.
but she knew who God was.
Amen.
I remember we'd stay with her and get up of a morning. She'd be sitting over there by the lamp. She'd be sitting there reading her Bible in the morning, and we'd come in there and we'd see her, and she'd say, breakfast is on the table. While we were eating, she'd go back in there and she'd pick that Bible up again, verse God. Mm. And I watched her in the garden. Sometimes she'd be up there in the garden. She'd have her apron full of weeds where she'd been pulling weeds.
Yeah.
And she'd get to humming a song. Next thing you know, them weeds go way up over top of the tomato plants. And she was 3/4 Cherokee Indian. And man, she'd go shouting down through the garden. I thought, what in the world is wrong with my mom? Now I know.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Now I know. I'm going to tell you something. We need that kind again. We need that kind again.
Yeah.
We need that kind of mamas. We need that kind of papas. We need that kind of mamas and daddies.
Amen.
Amen. That has holiness and righteousness in their life. Yeah. Let our children see us reading the Bible and hear us praying in the next room.
Amen.
She'd get back as she'd be us young and she'd scare us to death sometime. She'd go back in the back bedroom before night, before bed, and she'd get back there and get to praying. And she'd, right in the middle of praying, she'd stop. Whoa! She'd shout like a banshee Indian. After a while, we just got used to it. And I know what the world says nowadays, so that's all just emotionalism. Friend, oh no.
Yeah.
Son, that was real.
Oh, yes.
That was real. See, she had a relationship right. with the Savior. I'll tell you something tonight, friend. He asked a very important question. Yeah. Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice? And then he said, grant us. Show us thy mercy. And grant us thy salvation. Lord, we need revival in these days. Wilt thou not do it again? Sure he will.
Amen.
Sure he will.
Amen.
Will he grant us? Will he show us mercy? Sure he will.
Yeah.
Will he grant us salvation? Sure he will.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take God's people doing business with God once again. That's what it's going to take. Quit worrying about what this world thinks about you. Quit worrying about what your neighbor thinks about you.
Yeah.
By the way, your neighbor's watching.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Your neighbor's watching.
Amen.
I told you, I don't know why the Lord has me telling this stuff, but I'm not a storyteller. But me and my wife was witnessing to a man, witnessed to him for a long time. She worked with him, and I knew him well. He was a drunk. We witnessed to him, and he'd ride by church. He'd ride by the church that we was attending. He'd ride by Sunday morning and see if our vehicle was there. Then he'd ride by Sunday night and see if it was there. One Wednesday night, I'm a logger by trade. That's what I've done my whole life. I've cut timber and logged my whole life. Don't know nothing else but logging and preaching. And one night, I had the machine broke down and stayed working on it. And I didn't make it to church on Wednesday night. First thing Thursday morning, he came to her. You know what he said? Your car wasn't at church last night. Where were y'all at? He'd ride by there. And brother, that hit me. People are watching our lives.
Yeah.
I read something one time, a long time ago, and I'm not a poet, and I don't even know why this stuck with me. But the writer said this. He said, you're writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by deeds that you do and words that you say.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
People read what you write, whether faithful or true. Just what is the gospel according to you?
Yeah.
I read that, and I ain't never been able to memorize nothing. But that hit me. I wonder how many rode by here today. So there's that preacher's car. Wonder what they're doing there on a Tuesday night. Wonder why the lights is on a Tuesday night. They rode by, and some of them, they know your vehicles. Wonder what they're doing there tonight. You listening to me?
Yeah.
They're watching our lives.
Yeah.
They're listening to our words. Yeah. They're watching what we're going to do and how we're going to handle certain situations. And if we're going to have revival, we need God's mercy. We need God's favor. If we're going to have the peace of God back in our lives and back in our homes and back in our country ever again, listen, we're going to have to do just what this psalmist said. Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that you may show us thy mercy, that you may grant us thy salvation, but we're going to have to turn.
Amen.
He said, turn us. Turn us, oh God. Turn us, oh God. Turn us.
Amen.
You know what? I don't like to admit when I'm wrong. But the best thing I ever done, and the best thing I ever learned in my life, and especially in my Christian life, say, Lord, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Lord, I was wrong. Yeah. I'm glad he said, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad he can do that.
Amen.
I'm glad he will do that. You want revival tonight? I do. And I believe the Lord wants us to have it. Let's all stand all over the building. Yeah. Preacher's going to play something. Maybe I don't know what's ever going on.